all stand together as we sing. Together in prayer at this time, and I'm going to ask Brother Watkins, would you open us in prayer?
Thank you.
training in our young men and our men to song lead. The first Noel, the angel did say, can you help me move this down? Tonight we'll pass out our bulletins. We want to direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need one? We'll be happy to get one to you. Good to have one of our former church members back with us. Good to have Timmy Farrell back. Welcome back, Tim.
Thank you.
Yeah, how's everything going with you?
Fine.
Okay, maybe you can give us a little testimony of what you're involved in for the Lord and how everything's
going.
Yeah, of course. You're visiting. We want to know how you're doing. So, all right, so we'll do that during testimony time. Just by way of other announcements, we have our Christmas dinner is next week. Did everyone get a chance to sign up on the RSVP side, which is how many are coming? Did anyone not sign up on the RSVP list? Okay, we can pass that back around. Evan, if you can give that to Dylan, the RSVP list. And then also, anyone did not get to sign up for a food item? Did anyone not get to sign up for a food item that wanted to? Just raise your hand, and we can get that list to you. Okay? I think everyone got to sign up for that. All right. Then we are collecting our cookies this Wednesday by 6:30 p.m. If you can have them here by 6:30, all cookies, so we can assemble them in baggies. We need the little small baggies, and if no one can get them, anyone be willing to pick those up? If not, I'll go to Dollar Tree and get them. All right, I'll go ahead and get them then. So Thursday night, we invite anyone and everyone to come with us caroling at Meadowview Nursing Home at 7. We're going to meet over there on Dolphin Avenue here in Northfield at Meadowview Nursing Home at 7 p.m., and that will go around to a couple of the floors and give out the cookies and small gifts, the cookies to them, and we'll carol. We'll sing songs in the hallway. We already have 3 signed up for that, so that's a blessing. Then our invitation flyers are on the back table there. If you can take one with you, invite some people for the Christmas program 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today, invite your family, especially any family who don't know the Lord as yet, so that they can see Christ in all the symbols of Christmas and that they can hear the gospel message. What a blessing it would be to have some of our family and friends get saved at that live nativity drama and program. We are practicing next Sunday. We're going to practice at 5:30 so we can get in as much as possible. We need everyone here at 5:30 next Sunday night so we can do the readings with the kids, so the choir can practice. So please, if you can't be here, please let me know, because we need everyone here next Sunday at 5:30 for our run-through of the Christmas program. We have a lot to do for that. Then our dress rehearsal will be that following Thursday as well. All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned tonight? Anything else? Evan, did you have something?
The Christmas cards.
Ah, thank you. The Christmas cards. We have the Christmas card box, I believe, tonight. Is that Betty? Okay, the Christmas card box is out on the table in the hallway. If you want to make some Christmas cards for people, you're welcome to do that. And I'll try to have the address list back out there, at least who we have anyway. That way you can make some Christmas cards out. Or if you just want to make one Christmas card to the whole church, just fill out one and we'll put that on the bulletin board. So you pick what you want to do. That will be available for you, and we'll give those out on the 23rd. All right, any other announcements? We are having an afterglow tonight, food fellowship. I already saw there are some goodies in there, so nice little informal food fellowship. So please stay with us so we can encourage one another in the Lord, and you never know what a blessing you'll be to someone else. And we do have some... we're going to get some more tables together for the Christmas dinner and do a little decorating in the fellowship hall. So if you can help us with that as well, that would be great. All right, and next Sunday is Baby Faith's baby dedication. We're looking forward to having that special time for our little baby Faith. And so we look forward to that next Sunday. So So come on out and bring a friend out to church with you and have them and say, hey, we're having a dinner. Come on out to church with me. A lot of people who don't normally come out to church, they'll come out if there's a dinner, especially a free dinner, right? So let's make use of this. Let's say, hey, come with me. Hey, have you you got to check out my church. We're going to have our church service, and then we're going to have a dinner. You know, and bring them out for it. What a great thing that would be to fill up the church next week for church and the dinner, and then the following week for the program. This is the time of year when people are actually looking for a church. They're looking to go to one because they say, oh, you know, I need to be spiritual. Well, let's use that for God's glory by, hey, they can get spiritual by getting saved. And that, then they get spiritual because then they'll have the Holy Spirit living in their heart. So let's not be quiet and silent this week. Let's be loud and tell people, hey, good news. I've got just the invitation for you. Come to my church. Even if you only have a gospel tract to give, say, hey, come to my church. Here's my church information. Take some of these tracts on the way out. And hey, we're having a dinner this Sunday. And you'd be surprised who's going to show up for next Sunday. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. That the lights need to be put on and the bills need to be paid and all the things to support this gospel ministry. So let us keep it going for God by giving of our tithes and offerings. And let us pray that God will multiply the gifts given to for the work of the ministry here. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for saving up the money you're about to receive to launch this, my prayer. Amen.
Amen. China. Since February, my brother wrote a little letter and just shared that they can't. They're kind of things are very tense. Something happened in February where President Xi, who is he just made himself from president to president for life. He did away with term limits. He did away with everything, and now he's pretty much taken over the place like the emperor. Mao Zedong did back in the 60s when it became a communist regime. And so now Christians are under unprecedented persecution. So let's watch this so we can know better how to pray for our brothers and sisters in China.
The United States Commission on International Religious Freedom says Christians in China are facing an alarming escalation of persecution. This week, Public Security Bureau police invaded and shut down Zion Church in Beijing. Moments before that raid, this sign appeared just outside the church sanctuary. Now it looks like this. PSB agents removed the sign. No church here.
Amen.
Members of Zion Church were not deterred. Although authorities closed their building, they continued to pray and worship outside in the street. Also this summer, other Christians throughout China have seen their churches closed or demolished. Government officials have arrested church leaders, they've confiscated and burned Bibles, and they're still removing crosses from atop church buildings. What in the world is going on in China, and why now? Well, here to provide some insights is Voice of the Martyrs radio host and spokesman, Todd Nettleton. So Todd, is this something new or more of the same?
Well, we are seeing more persecution or a higher level of persecution. There's a couple of developments that have happened this year that I think contribute to that. One of those is in February, new regulations on religious affairs took effect all across China. And so we're seeing those regulations now being put into effect and enforced. We're seeing how that's being translated from the national government down to the provincial level and then to the local level, and how that's affecting churches. Another thing that affects this is the fact that in March, Chinese President Xi Jinping was essentially given a lifetime contract. He was renewed his presidency and was told that term limits are no longer apply to you. So he can essentially serve as president for as long as he wants. And one of his emphasis, even going back to his days as a provincial leader, was on controlling religious expression and controlling the church. And so we're seeing that what he put into effect as a provincial leader, now that he's the president of the entire country, that same emphasis is spreading from the national government level down to every part of China.
Why is it happening now?
Well, our Christian brothers and sisters in China are telling us that this is the worst persecution they've seen, even going back to the Cultural Revolution. And what's happening is the government at the national level is trying to exert more and more control over religious expression. What we've seen in the last number of months is the government will come into a church and say, hey, why don't you take down that picture of Jesus in your sanctuary and put up these patriotic posters instead? Why don't you not sing hymns to start out your service? Why don't you sing some patriotic songs about the wonderfulness of the Communist Party? One pastor in Beijing not long ago was told by the government, they said, Pastor, we don't mind if you continue holding your services. We just want to put this camera on your platform looking out at the audience, and it's attached to facial recognition software so that we can tell who comes to church on Sunday and who's there and what they're doing and how involved they are. The pastor obviously said, no, we're not going to allow you to do that. And just last weekend, that church was shut down. Officials came to the service. They said, nope, you are closed. You cannot meet anymore. So basically, the national government is making more and more effort to control every facet of religious expression in China. And this is not only affecting Christians. There are tens of thousands of Muslims in Western China that have been detained, and they're also seeking to control religious expression by Muslims as well.
What impact is this likely to have on the church and Christianity in China?
The larger gatherings may stop for a while, may be put on hold, and we will see more and more smaller gatherings. One of the challenges for the church in that situation is, okay, if we're not meeting in one group of 400, but we're meeting in lots of groups of 12 to 20, we need a lot of group leaders. We need leadership that is trained and ready to lead those groups. And so leadership development becomes a high priority in that situation.
What can our viewers do about it?
You know, the first thing that we can do is pray for the church in China. Pray for our brothers and sisters there as they go through this time of trial. And not long ago on our Voice of the Martyrs radio podcast, we had a guest, one of our workers who's very involved with the church in China. And I asked him how we could pray, and he gave what I think is a very insightful prayer request. He said, pray especially for the young people who are part of the church in China, because they've never faced this before. They've never been through this. Their parents and their grandparents have gone through persecution. They've seen how God sustains and God empowers and protects during times of trial and times of suffering. But these young people within the church, they haven't been through it. They haven't seen that. And so naturally, like many of us, they're intimidated. They're a little frightened by how are we going to deal with this level of persecution that we're facing. And so secondly, we can have a voice, and we can have a voice to our own government officials. You know, a lot of the conversation between the U.S. government and the Chinese government right now is about trade. But we need to make sure that our government officials here know that we vote and that we care about religious freedom, that they should use their influence, and we expect them to use their influence.
Okay, Todd Nettleton of the Voice of the Martyrs, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Gary.
Okay, let's stop it here. All right, let's turn back on the lights. John, if you can stop it here before it starts the next one. There we go. Great. Okay. All right, let's turn back on the lights. So we see what's happening in China. They're now moving. They have to move from larger congregations to now smaller congregations. And that's going to present a problem, especially if they don't have trained leaders and leadership that are trained in the Word of God. So it's so important that we pray for them and pray for good, solid Bible training for their church leaders. All right, who has a favorite for us from the hymn book? Who has one you'd like to share or sing that you'd like to sing? Or a testimony. We'll also take testimonies. You want to hear, Tim, do you want to give us an update how everything's going?
Yes. Everything's going okay.
Okay. You're over at Bay Landing Baptist, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Who else has a testimony to share? What are you thankful to God for tonight? Anyone? Ms. Pat has a song. Okay, why don't we take some testimonies, then we'll take her song. Anyone else? Something you're thankful to God for tonight? How would you like it if some officials came in here and said, nope, we're shutting you down? You know, and then we'd have to organize and meet in our homes. We'd have to say, okay, listen, so-and-so over here, so-and-so over there. And, you know, that'd be a really traumatic time. But guess what? God uses those times for them to grow. Before the Communist Party came into power in China, there were about 5 million Christians, born again Christians. After the persecution with the Communist Party, guess how many there are now? 128 million Christians and counting. That's since the 60s. So we see that one of the pioneers of the house church movement there in China said, with persecution only comes more churches. So he said it well. He said that we are growing very fast because the government is oppressing us. And people are realizing, hey, life is hopeless. If I just follow the Communist Party line and I'm just one of a number, you know, I'm just a number to them and I have social credits. They have social credits. They have a system of 1 to 5. You have 5 social credits, and if you're a 5, you're very good standing with the government. But if you lose your social credits, if you have 0 social credits, you can't go anywhere. And so David Cloud said they had a pastor's meeting in South Korea, and a lot of the Chinese pastors come to that. Well, 240 out of the 300 pastors from China who wanted to come to that Independent Baptist Conference could not leave China because they were zeros on social credits because they were found out that they were Christians, that they were involved in a house church somewhere or an apartment church. So can you imagine that? Not being able to leave the country anymore all because you love Jesus Christ. But that's what it's come to for Christians in China. So we need to pray for them and pray that God would protect them so that they can continue evangelizing for the Lord. Anyone else? A word of testimony. What are you thankful for tonight? Yes,
I just wanted to praise the Lord how the missionary went last Sunday. And I would say to anybody who didn't come, they should come next time when a missionary comes.
Yes. How was the message on Sunday night? What did he preach about? We were at our sister church, Community Baptist Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania, last Sunday night.
Talking about missionary work.
Good. All right. Wonderful. Good. Anyone else? Word of testimony. Yes, Esther.
Thankful for the freedom that we have here in America and the freedom to share the Word of God without having to be persecuted or even look over your shoulder and know whether someone is listening to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Anyone else? A blessing to share tonight. Something you're thankful for. Right. Is this right?
Likewise, I'm thankful for our freedom. I think we shouldn't take them for granted. There's already social media crackdowns and comments, and even Facebook trying to take control of certain things if it's too religious. I'm not quite sure all the information on that. I know verses are still able to be posted and testimonies and such things, but I've just at least heard rumors, and so I'm sure it's not too far from the truth with some aspects of it. So just to know that, you know, not to appreciate it right now, but not to take it for granted, to continue to pray for our doors to stay open so we can be a blessing and a light to other countries when they go through persecution and us along the way of us also, of course, praying for those, our brothers and sisters in Christ who are going through this time.
Yes, let's pray for the Jonathan Rice family and the Justin Smith family. They are ones that we know over there. Jonathan leads, my brother leads an apartment church, about 50 people in their apartment, and Justin trains the church leaders, the pastors. He trains them in Bible courses and seminary courses. So pray for them and for their safety. Anyone else? All right, let's sing your song, Pat. 124. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. Into the Word of God, praying in the time of need. Let us go to Psalms 20 and verse 1. Psalm 20 and verse 1. And let's go to Hebrews 4, 14. Let's go to Hebrews 4, 14 tonight. As we look, we're going to take a little break from our Revelation study and look at the importance of prayer in the time of need. We all have times of need in our life. If you haven't been there yet, you'll at some point come to the time of need. That's when someone, your loved one, passes very close to you. Your father, your mother, your grandfather, your grandmother, your friend, your brother, your sister. And you will especially feel the need for the Lord to be ever so close to you, and that is going to be the time of need. Or perhaps when you are lose your job, or when you have family, something happens in the family, that we need to be able to come to the Lord. Hebrews 4:14. Let us read these verses in responsive reading. Hebrews 4:14-16. I'll read 14 and you read 15. And then we'll read 16 together. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That a doctor recently said, my doctor said I need to go to a psychiatrist, but I told him I'd rather see my pastor. And the pastor said, let me teach you how to pray. You know, a lot of these things that happen to Christians and the ills that happen to Christians can be warded off through prayer and through coming closer to the Lord in the Bible. And so here, when we come to the end of our rope, we need grace, God's grace, the most. In the time of need, it's talking about in the nick of time. Okay, it's worded a little differently in the Old Testament. In Psalm 20, verse 1, it says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Psalm 27:5, in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Psalm 31:9. Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee. Psalm 77:2, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. Psalm 107:6, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all their distresses. Okay, this is what we need in our time of trouble. In different places in the Bible, God's people prayed in their time of trouble. Think of Abraham's servants. Eliezer prayed in the time of need when he was sent to find a wife for his master's son Isaac. When he came to that place where he needed great help, he prayed, and it came to pass before he had done speaking. Before his prayer was done, what did God do? Does anybody remember that? He was sent to search for a wife for Isaac, and he said, well, I'm in way over my head. Lord, help me. The God of Abraham, help me. I can't do this myself. And before he was even done praying, who came out? Rebecca. That behold, Rebecca came out to the well right where he was sitting. Does God answer prayer? Absolutely, he does. Okay, teens, all cell phones away. Don't put them under your seat if you're tempted to use them. Okay, it's a cell phone ban. Okay, rather have a cell phone ban than a church ban. Right? Okay, we want to keep you from being distracted by, you know, whatever's on your cell phone is not important, but whatever is in God's Word is important, and you'll be glad in eternity you spent the time in the Word of God. So we want to keep those things away right now. Okay, and then who else? Jacob prayed and wrestled with God. In Genesis 32, he was going to meet his long-lost brother with whom he had been in trouble for 20 years, Esau. His brother waited, wanted vengeance on him, and he prayed, and God gave him mercy and grace for the time of his need. And he answered in a great way. He wrestled with the angel the night before, the angel of the Lord, and he said, "Who is your name? What is your name, angel?" You know, and he wanted to wrestle with the angel. Why? Because he wanted the answer. He wanted a blessing from the angel. And the angel said to him, he said, "It is a secret. I can't tell you my name. It's a secret." You know, God didn't reveal what Jesus' name was before in the Old Testament. Wasn't going to be till Jesus came to earth that he was going to reveal his name. But he said, looking back on his, when he was dying, Jacob said, "The angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lads." He was asking for a blessing on Ephraim and Manasseh, his two grandchildren. And he said, "The angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lads." Was that just any angel? No, that was Jesus in a Christophany. Jesus came down. Okay, so nowhere in the Bible does it say to pray to angels. You know, that was a proper prayer because he was praying to Jesus. He was praying and asking for Jesus' blessing upon the children. Okay, so Catholics try to tell you, oh, you got to pray to this saint and that saint and the other saint. And well, guess what? It's not in the Bible. And we don't pray to the dead. It's in the Apocrypha. Okay, the Apocryphal books is, Catholics try to squeeze the Apocryphal books in between the Old and the New Testament. Well, the Apocryphal books were written after 100 AD. Okay, when was the Bible completed? Revelation was written about 95 AD. And then it was closed. The canon of Scripture was closed. So the Apocryphal books were written between 100 and 300 AD, after the New Testament was closed. And they were written in many different pseudonyms, like this guy claiming to be Jude, or Judas. Judas wrote the book of Judas, and this guy claiming to be Barnabas. You know, why did they choose the name Barnabas? Because Barnabas is mentioned in the Bible. So he said, hey, if I call my book the Epistle of Barnabas, people will think it's real, and it's Bible. So they chose the name very specifically. Why? Because they wanted to try to pull the wool over people's eyes. So if anyone tells you, oh yeah, how do you know the Epistle of Barnabas isn't in the Bible? Well, it was written after the canon of Scripture was completed, number one. Number two, any young Christian can read through the Epistle of Barnabas or the Epistle of Judas or whatever other apocryphal book is out there. Any young Christian can read through it and say, this doesn't sound right. This doesn't sound like Scripture. This does not have the stamp of God upon it. Okay? There's errors, there's contradictions, as in the book of Judith, there's a woman who dresses very compromisingly to seduce someone. You know, it's just like, okay, God would not do any of that. Okay? That is sin, it's wrong, it doesn't belong in the canon of Scripture. Okay? So that is how we can tell what's true Bible and what is not true Bible. And the church has circulated the true Bible books. The churches in the New Testament, right during the New Testament period and right after the New Testament period, they circulated Paul's epistles and Peter's epistle and James' epistle and Hebrews, and they circulated Revelation and Jude and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. They circulated those books, so all the churches had them. That's how we know what's Scripture and what's not. The true books of the Bible were kept, and they were carefully copied from year to year, carefully copied with diligence. And so we have in our hands the true Word of God, and not some guy trying to pawn off some pseudepigraphal writing, apocryphal writing to us. Okay, so that was just a little side note. Back to the praying in the time of need. Okay, in Exodus 17, Moses prayed in the time of his need, and Amalek was defeated in battle. Joshua prayed in the time of his need, and Achan was discovered so that more men were not lost in battle. Hannah prayed in the time of her need, the time of her trouble, and she had a child. David prayed in the time of his need, and the counsel of Ahithophel was overturned after his prayer, and his son who tried to take over was defeated. Asa prayed in the time of his need when a million Ethiopians came against him, and God turned his enemies and helped him win the battle. Elijah prayed and God gave rain. Elijah prayed and a little woman had a child. Elisha prayed and a little woman had a child. He prayed again when the child died and the child was raised from the dead. In Acts chapter 2, the church prayed and the Spirit of God came upon them. In chapter 12, the church prayed again and Peter was led out of jail. We need to learn to pray. Anyone who says prayer doesn't work, guess what? They haven't prayed. They haven't prayed. They're not doing it. They're trying to tell you it doesn't work because they're too lazy to do it. Okay? We need to pray because God does change things when we pray. Okay? Young people, do not get distracted with little bits and pieces and whatever else is going on. Okay? Focus in on the Word of God. This is the most important thing. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 1, verse 1. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. One of the fruits of the Spirit is temperance. Temperance.
Self-control. Do you know what self-control is? It's keeping our bodies under control. It means I'm going to keep my mind alert to pay attention to the Word of God. No slouching in the seat, teens, kids who are slouching in their seats. Sit up. That's an invitation for the devil to take you off into la-la land. Okay? We don't want to do that. We want to set you up for success tonight. We want to set you up to have God teach you something in your Christian life. Okay? We have to fight against laziness. We have to fight against the devil getting a victory in this service. We have to be self-controlled and temperate in all things. Okay, so here, Hebrews 1 and verse 1, let's read it together. Everyone, turn in your Bible, Hebrews 1:1. That'll keep you involved and engaged in the sermon if you turn to the passages. Okay, that's important. Disobedience is not turning to the passages, and then you won't get a blessing. Okay, so everyone turn in your Bibles. Okay, Hebrews 1:1. Let's read it together. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee, and again I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son. So here we see, in the new versions, they change verse 4. Instead of Jesus being made so much better than the angels, they change it to having become so much better than the angels. Okay? Once again, that's heresy. Okay? Jesus was already the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He didn't have to become better than the angels. He didn't go through a process where He somehow became better than the angels. No. He was made better than the angels. Okay? And this is talking about His earthly body. God gave Jesus an earthly body. He made Him in Mary's womb. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. Okay? And so He was made, and He was by conception, He was made so much better than the angels. Okay? He already existed way before that. He is eternal. That means He's never had an ending. Jesus never had an ending, and He's never had a beginning. There is no time that Jesus was not in existence. Jesus has always been. And that's something you say, wow, I can't wrap my mind around that. You know, Jesus never had a beginning or ending. No, God has never had a beginning or ending. The Holy Spirit has never had a beginning or ending. He never will end. He never had begun. Our finite minds, our brains are only finite. They're limited. We can't fully understand these concepts. But the Word of God says it. So we believe it, and that settles it. It doesn't matter if we can't understand it or not. I'd rather, much rather believe the Word of God than someone who says, Jesus was made when He came as a baby, that's the first time He was around. No, that's heresy. And that's someone trying to take their puny little logic and put Scripture into it, okay? That's heresy. And so we let God be true and every man a liar. Okay? The Trinity. You say, how can we worship three gods in one? One God in three persons. It's not three gods. It's one God in three persons. Okay? The Trinity is one God in three persons, not three gods. Okay? And so the world will try to mess you up. The world will try to tell you things that, that doesn't make sense. Don't listen to them. Say, hey, you know what? I see the fruit in my life. What do you have for your life? Well, atheism, and I smoke weed, and I do this and that, and I drink to cope with life. All right, I'll take what I have instead of what you have, you know, okay? You know, those atheists, those that are trying to destroy your faith, what do they have? They've got nothing. They've got sin. All they have in life is sin, and all they have to show for it is one day at the judgment seat is nothing, okay? They're gonna get turned into hell unless they repent. So Don't listen to some college professor or some high school professor try to take away your faith. Don't listen to them. They're trying to steal your faith. Why? Because the devil has put them there, okay? So don't let them steal your faith. Trust the Lord at all times, and you will be blessed. Even the things that you read in the Scripture, you say, I don't understand that. Well, bring it to the church. You know, bring your question to me. Bring it to one of the deacons. Bring it to your Sunday school teacher, and we'll be happy to answer your question from the Word of God. Okay, so here, Jesus is deity. There was one group of Jews who believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, but they hadn't gone far enough to take Him as their Savior. They too were still worshiping at the temple and bringing their sacrifices. Many of the hard passages in the book of Hebrews are written to this group of people whose faith had not taken them far enough to believe on the Son of God as their only Savior. Hebrews 10:39 says, "We are not them which draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." There are believers, quote unquote, that do not believe to the saving of the soul. They're not true believers. They have a form of religion. They've said, "Oh yeah, well I acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah." Well, they haven't yet personally asked Him to save them. Okay, this casual belief to which many of the hard passages in the book of Hebrews is written, where the people believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but He is not their Savior personally. They haven't gone far enough. Then there was a third group of Jews to which many of the passages in this book were written. They were the ones who were converted, and because of their conversion, they were being horribly persecuted. He wrote to them and said, "Ye took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. But ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Many of them have been cast out of their homes, but none had been killed. Many had their possessions taken from them, but the author wrote to those who were being terribly persecuted and said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's what the Chinese Christians are facing. You know, they're facing some of their things being taken from them. Their status are actually in jeopardy. If they don't have enough social credits, guess what the Chinese government is now telling their bosses? "Oh, we saw them, our facial recognition cameras saw them going into a house church and an apartment over here. They are zeros. They're zeros on our scale. So therefore, you can't keep them in your employment." Guess what's going to happen? Some of them are going to lose their jobs. Why? Because they're zeros in status, all because they believe in the Lord Jesus. So you see that the Hebrews was written to Christians who were going through these same things. And so guess what? The Chinese Christians are going to read Hebrews and they're going to say, "Wow, this is great. This is really going to bolster my faith because this is exactly what I'm going through." You know, they're not killing me yet. But I'm getting minimized. I can barely keep my head above water, okay? And so they're going to identify in these. So all these passages that to us we say, why is it persecution written by Peter? You know, why is Hebrews mentioned persecution? You know, we don't have any persecution. Well, guess what? It's written for all those Christians all through the centuries who don't have it as good as we have it. We are blessed in this nation. If you go around the world, probably half of the Christians in the whole world are under some type of persecution. Under some type of persecution, we are blessed here in the United States of America. And so let us pray for our country. Let's pray for our government that our president and the leaders can put some pressure on China to say, "Hey, what are you doing?" You know, I know they're trying. Congress has tried putting a resolution in to say, "Hey, to condemn their persecution of against religion in China." They've tried to do that. So let us pray that this becomes more effective. China is doing this. Okay, so here we see a pastor said, "I think the missing ingredient in the 21st century Christianity is prayer. We have been preached to death. We have had instructions until we don't know what else we need instruction for. Our brains have been filled with how to do this and how to do that, but actually learning how to pray is a missing ingredient." Here are four directions and encouragements on how to pray in the time of need. Number one, we need the exhortation to pray. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Here we see the exhortation. Come boldly. What an invitation we see here to come boldly. We need to come boldly. Why? Because we have this access now. Paul knew what it was to be at the time of persecution and dire need. In 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 25, he says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." Can you imagine that? 5 times in your life, people arrest you and then beat you with a whip 39 times. Can you imagine that? Having a whip come across your back? And each time, you know, it's gonna take some of your flesh and perhaps tear it or cut it or give you such a severe bruise or laceration that you're gonna have to heal in that for a while. You know, can you imagine what Paul's back must have looked like? His back must have had a lot of scars on it. A lot of scars. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Thrice was I beaten with rods. 3 times. Can you imagine that? Beaten with rods. Take a rod, and you know, it's not a whip anymore. Now it's just a wooden rod. Can you imagine a wooden rod across your back? Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. Okay, he was stoned and left for dead. When he came out of Lystra, literally, all the disciples and all the Christians came around him and they said, "Paul's dead." They looked at his body after he was stoned. You know, they just kept pelting him. And they came and they looked at his body. "He's dead. He's got to be dead. Oh, man, he took so many stones to the head and to the body." What does Paul do? Right in the midst of them, he gets up, starts walking out of the city. Pretty amazing. To go to the next city to preach the gospel. So guess what? You and I have no excuse for not preaching the gospel. You and I have no excuse for not speaking up this week and saying, "Hey, come to church with me. Hey, come. You will really enjoy this." And not even more important than that, here's the good news of the gospel, how you can know Jesus as your Savior. We have no excuse for not telling people about the Lord. Brother Dylan and I were out yesterday in the Carriage House Apartments in Summers Point there. And what a blessing that was to go and just knock on doors and talk to people. Why don't you share a little bit about your experience there? Actually, he went out Friday and Saturday. I only went out Saturday. Amen. And pray for Jay and Stefan. We're trying to get them in the church. We talked to the family members, and they said, "Well, we'll definitely, you know, we'll talk about this." And so what we found is, you know, we have to convince the family too. So we go back each week to the same house that got saved, and keep watering the seeds there with the other family members to get to the point where we can bring them to church. So pray for Stefan's family and Jay's family. And pray for Howard Watkins' family as well. I got to witness to Howard Sr. at Meadowview on Saturday, and he made a profession of faith. It got him to a point where he was zeroing in on it, and he was listening, and he was intent on it, and he did want to pray. And, you know, all we can do is give them the complete plan of salvation, and then say, "Hey, do you want to do this?" You know, and whether they really mean it or not, that's up to them. But our job is to at least give them that opportunity. That's what D.L. Moody said, "More people are in want of salvation for nothing more than just an invitation to, hey, would you like to do this right now? He said, I've found more people that I've been able to lead to the Lord by just asking them, hey, do you want to do this right now, than any other thing for people getting saved. So if D.L. Moody found it 100 years ago, you know, sure enough, we're saying that same thing. We just need to give the gospel and then ask if they'd like to trust Christ. It's not hard to be saved. It's actually easy to be saved. All they're saying is, hey, I don't want my sins anymore. I want to turn from my sins. I want to believe on Jesus. It's the hard part is living for Christ. That's what takes effort. That's what takes work. That's what takes growth, living for Jesus. So let us pray for these new converts, and number one, that they really meant it. Number two, that they will follow the Lord in growth. Okay, so here we see that we need to pray. We need to pray. One of the things that keeps us close to the Lord is if we are giving out the gospel regularly. Because we know we can't stay in habitual sin and expect God to save souls around us, you know. I love going out, but one of the things about going out and telling people about the Lord is, hey, it keeps me close to God. Hey, I can't harbor sin in my life because I will be an ineffective witness. Okay, so it's important to realize this, that prayer is such an essential part of the Christian life. Not only is it needful for us to do, but things happen in prayer. And let's go to Romans 8, 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27. What happens when we pray? Romans 8:26 says, let's read it together, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. How many want God to help you with your health problems? You get a sore leg, you want God to help you with a sore leg. If you have a sore back, you want God to help you with that. If you get a wound, you want God to help you with that. Okay? We all want the Lord to help us with our infirmities. Well, He will if we pray. For we know what we should pray for as we ought. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So here we see that as we pray, we may not pray all the right words, you know, especially if you're a new Christian. You know, you say, I don't really know how to pray that well. Well, guess what? Just pray. You just pray, because something amazing happens when you just pray. Guess what happens? The Holy Spirit prays efficiently. He prays effectively for you. He prays for all the right things which we can't quite remember. The Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay? And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. So God, who searches our hearts, He knows what is the mind of His Spirit, because He maketh, Jesus, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So here, you just pray. God says, hey, you don't have to have all the perfect words. You don't have to be this great prayer orator. You know, they can get up and say just the right prayer. No, God says, hey, just come, just pray before my throne of grace, because guess what? The Holy Spirit is going to say the words you forget. Or He's going to say the words that you don't remember. Or say the words that you don't even know that you have that need of. That the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And Jesus is making intercession for the saints. Guess what He's doing? He's praying for us. You know, He's seated at the right hand of God, the Father, making intercession for us. What is intercession? Prayer. So one of His chief jobs right now is laying up, you know, making mansions for us and praying for us. Okay? And along with the Holy Spirit. So if we will just do our part and make our feeble prayers, you know, they may seem feeble, you know, but guess what? God will do the real pray. And He will make it real. Okay, so it just takes a little bit of faith, and we can break through in prayer to God. Okay, I feel sorry for those who are never urged to pray. One pastor says, I feel sorry for those who ignore the Spirit God and never get stirred up to the point where they feel like they have to get alone somewhere with God and pray. Revelation 22:17 says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." It is the Spirit of God that stirs you up to pray. His Spirit is telling us right now, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Okay, and so we see the exhortation to come. Now what's an explanation of prayer? Whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, always look to see what it is there for. Nobody ever comes up to you and just says therefore. So there must be something that has been said earlier. The explanation of the therefore in this verse, in Hebrews 4:16, is found in the previous two verses. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but all points tempted like as we are, yet without. We have Jesus who has already passed through the heavens. We have Jesus already over yonder to whom we can go. This is why there is a therefore. So let us therefore come, because we have a Savior who is our intercessory Savior. He is praying for us right this minute. Sometimes we ask, who's already been through what I'm going through? You know? Oh, I'm going through a really hard time at work. Oh, wait, so-and-so, my family member, I'm going to call them on the phone, and they say, yeah, do this, do that. They give us some advice. But wait, who has been already through all of our problems that we're going through? Jesus. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows what we're going through. He knows our sadness. He knows our sorrow. So who better to go to than picking up the phone and calling a person, picking up the prayer phone? Jeremiah 33:3. God says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's Holly's life verse, right, Holly? Jeremiah 33:3 is, that's the prayer line, you know, if you want to know God's phone number. It's Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Okay, there's a lot of little tidbits like that all through Scripture. You know, God put them in there for us to find them and latch on to them. You know, call God's phone number. He'll answer all the time, day or night. He's up in the middle of the night. He's up any time you're up, He's up. And He will answer you. All we need to do is pray. Okay? That we need to pray no matter what we're going through, and God will take care of us. We need some education in prayer. It says we are to come boldly. It doesn't mean come brashly or proudly. It means it doesn't mean we should be irreverent. Hey God, you know, no, don't be irreverent with God, you know. I hear a lot of Christians pray like this now, that they say, oh dear Jesus, you know, help me today. You know, well, wait, let's make sure we're staying scriptural in prayer. Did Jesus ever pray to himself, number one? No. He prayed to his heavenly Father. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay? So here Jesus showed us. Remember, we have to follow his steps. Everything Jesus did, we need to do. So how did he pray? He prayed to his heavenly Father. And how did he close? Jesus said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will what? Give it you. I will give it to you. So how should we close our prayer? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay? Why the amen? Well, because in the book of Acts, they would, whenever there was a prayer, they would say amen. What does it mean? So be it. Let it be so. That's what amen means. Let it be so, Lord. Lord, I'm coming to you, and I'm coming to you, Father God. God is our Heavenly Father. So we start our prayer to our Heavenly Father, and then we close it in Jesus' name, amen. That's the biblically correct way to pray. So let's not get loose with our prayers and say, dear Jesus, and then people don't even say anything at the end. You know, they just kind of close the prayer and then they're just like, okay, are they done praying? You know, they didn't say anything. Well, you know, it may be trendy, it may be cool on the internet, but it's not cool to God, you know, to not open your prayer and to our Heavenly Father and not close your prayer in Jesus' name is not biblical, okay? So let's stay biblical. Let's not get trendy, okay? We want to stay biblical in all things. And so here, we need education in prayer, and then we need encouragement to pray, that we can get encouragement in Jesus, that God's grace and His mercy, His grace, He wants to shed His grace upon you. That means unmerited favor. You know, do we deserve any of our prayer requests to get answered? Do we deserve, you know, a raise at the job? No. Do we deserve good grades? No. Do we deserve all the things that we pray for? No. So that's why we're coming to find grace, unmerited favor. If it be your will, could I please have this? And He may say yes, He may say no, He may say wait. Maybe it's not good for us. So don't get offended if God says no. It may not be good. You know, one little boy came to his Sunday school teacher, and he had just lost his marble. He said, "Teacher, I just lost my marble in class. Can you pray that I find my marble?" The teacher, not knowing what to say, she said, "Well, you know what? I'll pray for you." You know. And later on, the next week, the little boy comes and says, teacher, God answered your prayer." "Oh, really?" She said, "Oh, did you find your marble?" He said, "No. In fact, God showed me that I don't even need that marble anymore." He said, "I don't care about it." So how did God answer this little kid's prayer? By showing him it wasn't important. Okay, and that's the way it is. Sometimes we are praying for something real specific, but if God doesn't think we should have it, He won't let us have it. And let us be thankful for whatever answer He gives. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. As we close tonight, this message on praying in the time of need. Perhaps you're here tonight, you say, "You know, Pastor, I need to get more diligent in my prayer life because I realize I'm passing up blessing after blessing every day I don't pray. And I want to see God's blessings. I want to see Him do great and mighty things in my life. I want to dial up His phone number every day." If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly. Amen. I see the hand. Amen. I see the hand. God bless you. Anyone else? You say, "Pastor, I want to get stronger in my prayer life." Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time tonight to be reminded of the great importance of prayer. Lord, help us to come boldly before Your throne of grace to find that grace to help in time of need. Lord, help us this week to see prayers answered through Your power, because we've asked. As Jesus said, "Ye have not because ye ask not." Lord, help us to ask so that You can bless us with what we need. We pray You'd meet our needs this week, and pray for those who are away from us. We pray for Mr. Hodge, that You keep him safe as he flies back on Friday. We pray for Zion Zamora as they come back this week as well. You keep them safe. And Carol and Roy, that You'd heal them from their sicknesses, Lord. And You'd bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close with one last in our hymn book on prayer. "Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray." Great hymn of the faith. Good one to learn. If you don't know this one, you know, this is a great hymn to learn, to be reminded of the importance of prayer. Thank you. 218, "Teach me to pray." Let's all stand together as we sing this song tonight. Come on back this Wednesday night for prayer and Bible study, where we spend time in small groups and pray to God. Come on back at 7 o'clock. 218, if you need to come for any reason, maybe you have a specific prayer request, would you come and bring them before the altar tonight? What more appropriate time to ask God for things and to ask for His blessing. 218. "Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. This is my heart cry day unto day. I long to know Thy will and Thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray.
Horrible times are going to be upon us, and we just ask, Lord, that if there be any way that you could preserve this country and keep it open so that we might be able to maintain our religious liberty, we just ask the Lord that you would do this for us. That we might be able to continue to tell your story, tell your word, and to witness and to witness for you. And we just ask that you would continue to give the increase for each and everything that's invested in your purpose. And we just ask, Lord, that you would dismiss us this night from this house, having been better for having been here and come closer to you through the true teaching of your word. And we